Today's Tuesday, April 16th. Grab a brew, grab a brat, because we got a big one today.
Or it's my sister learning a karate kick and kicking you in the face. Like, that's just.
Did that happen?
Yes. She was like, look, I learned a karate kick. Let me show you. Just stand right there and then whap, right? And I'm in love with this good life.
Chichi, how we doing, brother? We got a good one today, man.
We do. I think the guy we're having on is like a hair faster than you.
You think? I think he's hair faster than a lot of people, dude. Not just me. I think a lot of people. But let's get to it really quick. This guy is leading the Major League Baseball in stolen bases right now with 8. He's 10th in hitting with at 333. He had a 7-game hitting streak snap last night. Going into last night, he's hitting 360, which is incredible. One of the best young players in the game, one of the best defensive second basemen in the game, too. Let's bring him in, Bryce Terang. Bryce, thanks for coming in the mayor's office, dude. How you doing, brother?
Good, good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, thanks for joining us. I want to talk a little bit first about you guys, the Brewers. I mean, you're in first place in the Central, playing some good baseball, too. Some of the teams that you've beat, obviously have been some of the best teams in the game. The Mets are hot. You swept them at the beginning. Took 2-3 from the Mariners, 2-3 from Cincy, and then you went in and took 2-3 from Baltimore. So, you know, what's been going well for you guys so far, and how is it in the clubhouse there in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, the clubhouse is great, man. It's been a blast to be a part of it and seeing how these guys work every day. And, the locker room has been awesome. It's been fun. And we just compete, man. We go out there and try to win every game and win every pitch. And it's about winning, you know. And you want winning players. And we have that group of guys. And just never let the foot off the pedal. And it's been great, man.
Yeah. Speaking of winning players, dude, we had one of your guys on, you know, probably one of the best players in baseball the last few years, former MVP, one of your teammates, Christian Yelich, on a few weeks ago. And I could only think, watching your style of play, how you hit, how you run the bases, your speed, that Yelly has to be in your ear a little, or you have to be in his ear a little bit. Can you talk about that? Are you talking to Yelly at all? And how has he helped you so far, you know, trying to become the big leaguer that maybe he is?
Yeah, I mean, even from when I was a young age, in the minor leagues, he kind of always took me under his wing. He'd always talk to me when I was in big league camp and stuff like that. And I'm all open ears to him, and I listen to him. I ask him questions, and he's a great player, and he's someone you listen to and someone you respect for what he's done. And he plays to win, and that's the type of player he is, and he's gonna leave it out all on the field and try to win every game. So
what's the best, is there something he's told you, or what's the best advice, maybe one thing that he's given you?
Yeah, I mean, he's helped me out a ton. I talk to him all the time, and it's just, you know, being yourself, playing hard and competing, and even when things aren't going well, you're out there competing and putting in the effort to get better and stuff like that, and just winning ball player, be a winning guy. And even if you're struggling offensively, go play defense, go steal bases, put down bunts when needed to, play the game, you know, and play it hard.
Yeah. Well, dude, listen, man, I, watching you play and how you play the game, man, like, you're one of those guys, like I would bring my kid to see, like, hey, watch the way this guy plays the game. Watch how he's plays with his hair on fire. And I love your swing. I love, you know, how you go about the game. I want to talk about your bat a little bit first. Let's get into a little hitting before we get into the stolen base. I know a little bit more about hitting than stealing bases, so let's get into that first. But you got the knob that I think, like, you know, I think Goldie a couple years ago went out to Marucci and, you know, did the hitting lab or whatever and came back with this, you know, bigger knob. And I see that you're using it too. And so first off, I wanted to talk about your bat. You know, why do you have the knob that you have? And then I just want to get into your approach a little bit at the plate.
Yeah. So the bat, I actually, last year, the season was over and I shipped my bats home. And I was about to start hitting and I was like, damn, my bats aren't here. Like, so I texted Schauger, our clubhouse guy, and I was like, hey, like, you guys send the bats out at all? And he was like, yeah, we did. You didn't get them? I was like, no, I never got them. And so he went through, I don't know if it was UPS or FedEx or whatever it was, the shipping company that sent them. And they're like, we don't know where they are. They completely lost my bat. Oh my God. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm starting to hit. And so I grabbed the bat that I had from a buddy and it had the puck knob on it. And I was just in the cage hitting it. And I was like, damn, this kind of feels good. So I rolled with it.
Right.
That's unbelievable. That's literally a big league problem. The bat didn't make it home. That's awesome.
Yeah. Dude, what about it felt good? Is it top heavy? Is it balanced right? Is it bigger head? Like, you know, what is Bryce Terang's, you know, model?
So it's very balanced. You know, with the puck knob, like the counterbalance weight type of thing, and very balanced. I choke up on it. It's kind of a bigger bat. It's a 35.5, and then the puck knob is I think an inch. I want to say it's an inch and a half. So I choke up on it, and I don't know if it feels like it's the weight's very evenly distributed,
and,
I don't know, more I feel like it get on top of balls and feels good, so I just kept riding with it.
Well, it's working, dude. Whatever you're swinging, whatever you're doing, it's working right now. You know, looking at your swing and looking at your approach, I mean, a lot of balls hitting that five hole, some good balls, you know, driven to left center, but also a little bit of juice. You know, when you can get into one, you can get into one to right center too. Can you tell us, you know, what's your approach at the plate?
Yeah, my approach is, you know, line drives back up the middle. When I get into the box, I can't sit there and think about my mechanics,
right?
Because it kind of just jacks me up. But yeah, my approach is just hitting line drives back up the middle, and that's get on top of it basically. Last year I was underneath a lot of things, and I went home and sat down with my dad, who's been my hitting coach for my whole life, and was just like, yo, like, you know, like we got to get back on top of things and be the type of hitter that I am, and which was the 5-6 hole and balls hit to left, and then when I catch them out in front, I would clip them, and that's always been the hitter I've always been ever since I was younger, and I bought into hitting the home runs and stuff, and that's not the type of player I am. So I had to retrack and go back to what I do best. And that's put the ball in play and run, you know?
Yeah.
It's so refreshing to hear you say that, because for the past few years, Case, you know, like everybody's talking launch angle and lift and all that kind of BS. Like, did anybody try to push that type of swing on you? And did you fight back, or were you just like, they kind of left you alone because you had a solid swing to begin with?
I mean, as in, like, going through the minors, like, I never really hit homers. Like, I was always the guy who, like I said, I was a 5-6 hole guy, hit the ball the other way, very low. I hit a lot of ground balls. And then it started coming like as a topic, like, hey, like we want more like line drives, which obviously everybody wants line drives.
More line drives.
And then, you know, like, hey, maybe you can juice a little ball. And I always had it. It was just
right
when I would connect with it, then I, like, you know, I didn't ever force it. And then I kind of got in my own head about trying to pull the ball and hit it in the air. And then my last year in AAA, I hit 13 and I hit very well. And then I got to the big leagues and I was just underneath everything. And I was swinging super hard and I was just underneath it. And then I was like, all right, like we got to go back to what I do best. And that's what I do best is the 5-6 hole and driving balls the other way and just being a competitive at bat. Whether things don't go good, it's a competitive at bat and I'm making the pitcher throw good pitches to get me out, you know? So, yeah, that's basically my approach is just back up the middle and,
I think what I always say, like, I think one of the biggest things is be a great hitter first. And like, you'll run into 10 to 20 home runs. I always say they're mistakes. You know, we're trying to get this lift on the ball. I think launch angle is catching the ball out front where you catch it out front. And I think you catch a slider, a backup slider out front. You catch a bad curveball out front, a changeup that stays up. You know, if you have that path to left center, like you do, you're going to click 10 to 20 balls out of the park if you're getting 600 at bats. I mean, that's just the way it goes. So, you know, I love that you made that adjustment because I think just being a great hitter first, you're going to run into home runs easier than if you're just trying to pull home runs.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Yeah. So what about your stolen bases, man? I mean, I think obviously, you know, you had, what'd you have, 26 bags last year, which was fifth as a rookie stolen bases, which is incredible. You know, you weren't even up all year. Most of the year you were, but you know, there was some parts that you weren't. Has it always been part of your game? And what do you think the biggest part about being a base stealer? What's the mentality of a great base stealer?
Yeah. Our first base coach is awesome. I mean, we're watching video, we're seeing times, he's on times every pitch. And, he does a great job at kind of like giving us the heads up of what's going on. And, but also too, it's kind of knowing the situation, knowing the game, what pitches come in and what counts the guy likes to throw what and all that stuff. Like there's a lot more that goes into it than just running. And then also too, like I'm trying to put myself in an RBI situation for the hitter. Base hit scores me. So it's like, all right, like that's part of my game is running, so I got to use it, you know. but yeah, I work in the off season on getting jumps with the trainer I work out at home, and it's baseball. Like that's what you do in baseball. You steal bases. If you're fast, you steal bases. Like that's what it is. Like So I don't know. I don't look too much into it. I'm fast. That's part of my job. That's me trying to be a winner, and I'm going to steal as many bases as I possibly can to help my team win. So,
dude, you have the greatest baseball mentality. This is so awesome listening to you talk. I have one quick question, though, on a stolen base. You've been stealing bases a certain way your whole life, and then they make these rule changes, you know, and you got clocks and you got thrown over and all that kind of stuff. Did you have to adjust to how that operates? And I don't want you to pull I don't want you to let everybody else know this, but like, do you kind of pay attention to what's going on with the pitch clock? And are you paying attention to how many times he's thrown over and all that kind of stuff? And was that tough to adjust to, or was it smooth for you?
It wasn't very difficult for me to adjust. I think the runners, there wasn't much adjustment for the runners. I think it was more for the pitchers. You can't pick over six times in a row anymore.
So, like, awesome.
But yeah, I mean, it, it, the pitch clock. Some guys steal off a pitch clock. I guess that's kind of a situational thing for me. I don't look too much into it when I'm at first stealing a base. Because they can always pick, too. They can always wait till 1 second and pick. So if you're trying to jump him at one, mm-hmm. he can pick over. Mm. And even if they burn two, like we saw last week, the guy picked again. So it's like there's – it's a game for sure, you know. It's one of those where you can think about it, but then also, too, if they still have another pick, they can pick over. Like it's – you know, it's I don't really look too deep into it. I'm mostly running on pitcher's times, catcher's times, what pitch is coming, you know, stuff like that.
Dude, I want to get into your bloodlines a little bit because your dad, Brian, played in the big leagues for the Mariners 93-94. I'm sure, like you said, he's your hitting coach. He's, you know, been in your brain and how to play the game. You can see he's got that old school mentality. But I also want to get into your sisters a little bit here. You got four sisters, is that right?
Yeah, four.
You got four sisters. Okay, all played college athletics. Chinch, wait to hear this. I haven't told you this, right? Okay. So Brianna, right? She won a national championship in softball at Oklahoma and played 4 years of soccer. Carissa played softball at Southern Miss and Cal State Fullerton. Cabria, is that right?
Yep.
Cabria played 4 years of soccer at Utah, and Bailey was an all-conference outside here for Southern Nazarene University volleyball team. So, and also, too, among the sister's spouses, one of them's a college pole vaulter and an NFL player, which Tress Way is did I get that right? He's the punter for the Commanders, who's your brother-in-law. So, bro, what was it like growing up in the Terang household? Like, I mean, as far as like your dad leading the way, I'm sure your sisters weren't easy on you either. I'm sure there was a lot of, you know, things going on. So can you just talk about that, man? Like the competitiveness in your house.
Yeah. Well, my mom also played college softball for Lincoln State for 4 years.
Oh my God. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. But it's exactly what you think it is. Like people always ask me like how it was. And I was like, it's exactly what you think it would be. We were never in our rooms. We were always either in the living room doing something, outside doing something. Like we were always together, always doing something. And it was a competition with every little thing we did. You know, if we played hand baseball in the living room, like it was a competition. We're running as fast as we can, 5 feet away, running into walls and stuff. Or it's my sister learning a karate kick and kicking you in the face. Like that's just
did that happen?
Yes. She's like, look, I learned a karate kick. Let me show you. Just stand right there and then whap right in the face.
Where were you in the lineage? Were you the youngest?
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
Ever. Wow, dude. So, okay, yeah, I can see you taking the brunt.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely taking a beating when I was younger until I started getting bigger than them, and then they kind of had to stop.
What was the big sport you guys played against each other? What was it?
Dude, we played, I mean, everything you could possibly think of. There's times we would play like, it's basically like we'd roll up socks and we'd play like, you'd have three socks or three different like balls of socks and you'd throw them at each other. You'd start at one end and you'd throw them at each other and whoever with the last one standing wins. We play stuff like that. Just recently, my sister, they have kids now, and we went and bought Nerf guns.
Oh yeah!
And we were in their house with the lights off, playing Nerf gun wars while the kids were asleep. Like that's so cool. we're just constantly doing things. Wiffle ball outside. Like we'll still go outside and play wiffle ball. And now with the kid, now with I got 7 nieces and nephews now, and
wow,
it's a little more difficult to get all the adults to go play some things, just because the kids are running around, you know, and they're starting to get into sports. So it's fun watching them. I'm outside throwing tennis balls to my nephew. He's just turned 6, and he's out there hitting them, and so that's also fun too. But it's definitely a competition, whether it's cards or just playing something.
Do the kids know what you do? Like, do the kids know that you are a Major League Baseball player, or do they kind of like it's all in a cloud so far?
Yeah, my nephew, he understands it, but he doesn't get it. You know, his dad plays in the NFL, and he understands that his dad plays football. He understands that I play baseball, but he just doesn't understand like what it actually is. So he's always asking to go on fields. My sister called me the other day and was like, "Yeah, we went to a soccer game," and he asked, "Hey, can we go on the field after?" Because that's how he's used to. Because when he comes and watches me play or watches my brother-in-law play, he gets to go on the field. And she's like, "No, not here. We don't know anybody here." So he's starting to understand it more and more now. I'm pointing him out. He's the oldest one. My other nephews, they're too young. They don't understand at all. So
one day they will. You'll be 15 years in. They'll be like, "Oh, we're on the field for BP." Where they're probably, you know, you'll be really enjoying it, you know, then, which is great. Dude, tell me about your dad a little bit, man. Obviously, it sounds like you guys have a great connection. You know, what has been some of the best advice that he's given you that, you know, you hear him on your shoulder sometimes during the games?
Yeah, I think like everything, like the dude's sacrificed a lot of his time for me.
Yeah.
Whether it's hitting late in the cages, or he wants to go home, but I still got to hit. So, or he's at home taking a nap and I'm like, "Yo, let's go hit. This is the perfect time." And so he's definitely sacrificed a lot, and I can't thank him enough for what he's done. But I think the biggest thing is like that he always tells me is just like, it's just the competing and the confidence. Like, "Hey, like you're there for a reason, you know, like you're good. Like, don't like self, like, or don't doubt yourself. Like, just keep going, you know, like." He's the guy I call after every game and just talk. And even if it's a good or bad day, we just sit there and talk for the whole drive home. And, yeah, he's just great. He's helped me out with everything. But just competing, that's, you know, the way he came up, he had to grind every single day. And so he kind of pushed that onto me, like, "Hey, like, I don't care what status you are. I don't care what round you went. Like, you're going to go out there. You're going to be a good teammate, and you're going to compete every single day." And that's the biggest thing. And he's engraved that into me. It's just go out there and compete no matter what.
Love that. Love that, man. And love to see, you know, I watch you play and I'm like, you know, I can see the influence that your dad's had on you. So, you know, just really cool that he had the time in the big leagues, and how he was kind of brought up was passed on to you. What about your guy? I mean, one of my favorite guys in the game, I've known Pat a long time, but, you know, obviously Craig Counsell left to go to the Cubs, and the Brewers end up signing Pat Murphy. You know, Murph's been there since you've been there. You know, how's he impacted you, and what do you like about Murph as a manager?
Yeah, Murph, he's a baseball guy. You know, he's been in baseball for years, at all, like, different levels. And he understands the game. He knows the game. And he's a winner. He wants to win. Like, that's just how it is. Like, let's just win. Let's win today. Like, that's his biggest thing, is win today. Doesn't matter. I don't care how we do it. Just win, you know. And that's a big piece. That's, you know, like you there's winners and there's not winners, and right. you want the winners on your team because you want to win. And he drives that every day is win, win, win. And dude, he's awesome. He's great. He's a good time. He laughs. He's smart. You know, like it's just awesome. Like, I mean, you know him. He's great. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And not only that, like he's sitting there like helping us out, talking to us. You know, he knows about baseball. He's a guy you listen to. And yeah, man, he's a winner. That's what you want.
Yeah, man. Murphy is a winner. I was thinking that they couldn't have picked a better guy to take over for Counts. And obviously he's been there for the last so many years as being the bench coach too. Before we let you go, I want to ask you one final thing. You know, obviously talk about winning. Like, we all play this game to win. You play it to win. I played it to win. Guys that have changed play, we all play this game to win. And you being in the postseason last year, what did you learn from that experience? And how was it different being in the postseason?
Yeah, I learned, you know, you learn this as your career goes by, so you can control what you can and you can't control what you can't, you know,
right.
Or at least you can't try to control what you can't, because then it, you know, you're the way you feel kind of, but the playoffs, like that's baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just, it's baseball. Team gets hot, good team gets hot, and they just roll. And they just put their foot on the gas and never let it up. And I learned to just, you know, control what you can and play as hard as you can. Obviously, you try to win. You try to win you try to win 162. You try to win all the playoff games. You know, you want to win every game, but it's baseball. Like, you know. There's going to be games where baseball happens, where there's six jam fist hits that score three runs. Like, that's just baseball.
Crazy.
And so just learning to control what you can. And some days you tip your cap and just be like, wow, you know, they played a good game. And, you know, as much as sometimes it's hard to, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow, but that's baseball, you know, that's how it is. Just controlling what you can and play as hard as you can. That's the biggest thing I learned.
Yeah, love it, man. Yeah, you're right. You can't teach experience at the end of the day. And you know, I got a good feeling about you guys this year, 2024 Brewers, man. You look great top to bottom. You know, you're off to a great start so far. You know, keep it rolling out there. Tell Murph I said hi, and my man Ozzie Timmons, I'm sure Oz is doing some good things out there with you hitters. I mean, Ozzie and I go way back too, and you know, so Bryce, thanks a lot for joining us today, dude, and good luck against the Padres tonight, and good luck the rest of the way, brother.
Heck yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem, dude. Thanks.